This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to Psalm 22, verse 1. Oh, surprised you, didn't I? I always say where we left off last time. This is one of the few times each year that I cannot say that, but this is the season when all of the world is celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for us. So we're taking a field trip. Next week, we'll return back to the great book of Revelation, Psalm 22. Before we begin, I want to invite every prayer warrior Christian in the United States of America to join me each Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for effectual, fervent intercessory prayer for our beloved President Donald Trump and for the United States of America. The only thing that can save us is if we, God's people, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face. God says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. So let's do that. Amen. I'm in my new location in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside the produce place. The produce place is on Wickham Road. Right there you will see 2565 Sellers Lane, and there I am, Wednesday, 6 p.m. On Sundays, you might like to come at 5 p.m. for this live radio broadcast. And now, Psalm 22. Now, the whole world is calling this season Easter. So what does the Bible say about Easter? The word is only used in the King James English Version one time, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and it's found in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. However, the word is a blatant error. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word is Passover. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Who is Christ? He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. He's Yeshua, Jesus. So what is Easter? Well, if you can find a good dictionary anymore, you'll find that Easter is a time in April when people go into the woods in the grass and have sexual orgies, lay their eggs quick like a bunny, one after the other, to celebrate the goddess of fertility, Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven. Woo! Good Lord, how in the world that get into the highest holy day? Well, you tell me, but it shouldn't be there. So what is Passover? Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 through 26, the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. All of us were in slavery to sin. And God said, Moses, tell every family to find a lamb without spot, without blemish, a perfect lamb, and kill the Passover. The lamb is called the Passover lamb. And he said, take the blood of the Passover lamb, put it in a basin, and dip some hyssop into it, and strike the blood of that blameless lamb on the lintel, which means down, on the side post, which makes a sign of a cross, tav. And God says, when death angel sees the blood in the sign of the cross, death will pass over you. And when you, everyone listening to me, stand before the throne of God, if God sees the blood that was shed on the cross of the Passover lamb covering your sins, eternal death will pass over you. Amen. So there we have it. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, you don't go to hell if you caught it Easter. I know most people mean well, but we might as well get it right. Psalm 22 is called the Song of the Lamb. In Revelation 15, I taught you, and the Bible taught you, that those of us who overcome the soon coming Antichrist will sing the song of Moses. I taught you that. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. We'll also sing the song of the Lamb. This is it, Psalm 22. Psalm 22 was written 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. It was given to King David. You'll notice it's a Psalm of David. We're going to find that Jesus is teaching Psalm 22 from the cross. So let's begin.
Verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
Now, these first words of Jesus are what are called in the Bible an acrostic. It means that something God has hidden there, and he wants you, his children, to find it out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. What it is, there are three flashing red lights that tell you something's out of character about Jesus. The first thing is, this is actually written in the manuscripts in Aramaic, and the rest of Psalm 22 is written in Hebrew. Jesus in the body was Hebrew. And so was King David, who wrote this 1,000 years before. So it's out of Jesus' character to be quoting Aramaic when he's Hebrew. When you're in deep pain, you don't speak another language. You go back to your regular language, right? Yeah. The second red light is that he says, my God, my God. When you study the life of Jesus, you notice he never called God, God. He always called him Father. When Jesus was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph were looking for him, he said to them, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? And he told us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And he says, I do nothing, but first I see what the Father says. So that's out of character. The third flashing red light is he says, why have you forsaken me? Now, we know that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. I know the Epistle of John says as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, these three are one God operating in three different offices. You can never forsake yourself. Sometimes you'd like to, wouldn't you? So you cannot forsake yourself. So we're going to find here in this psalm that God the Father never forsook God the Son. It just looks that way. We're going to find out why. And you better be glad about that. Because if God could forsake himself, his only begotten son, he might forsake you. But God will never forsake you, and God will never leave you. So what in the world is Jesus doing? All right, this is the greatest war that has ever been fought. This is the war for the life of God's children. It's to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Jesus came to the cross to die for our sins. So he's using a military strategy. In the American military, we have a military strategy. It is when the enemy is surrounding you, play dead and maybe you'll live. We hear of a lot of people testifying after some of these mass shootings in our country. I've heard them come on television and say they played dead and they were alive. What it is here, Jesus knows he needs to stay alive on the cross for 6 solid hours. It can't be 5 hours and 45 minutes. 6 hours. Why? 6 in biblical numerics is a number of depraved mankind. That means he's going to pay the sin debt for whosoever will may come. For anyone ever, ever, ever who's ever sinned, who will repent and accept him, they may be saved. If his time is cut short to 5 hours, somebody might get left out. Bobby or Susie or Johnny might not get saved. So he realizes that he is successful. To the chief musician means to him who has the victory. He's actually, he's doing what God sent him to do, to pay our sin debt. And the Bible says, for the joy set before Jesus, he went to the cross. Even in the pain, when you're doing God's will, there's a great feeling of satisfaction to know you're successful. So he realizes if these people call him, crucify him, who, by the way, speak Aramaic, we'll learn about that. If they see that he's kind of content there, They might come and chop his head off and kill him before his 6 hours are passed, and then whosoever will could not come. So he's using military strategy. Understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 2. Oh, my God. I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. 3.
Now, all of that was still part of his first words. That was the Aramaic. We're going to find out that their people are called the bulls of Bashan, that they are Satan's camp, and they are saying, crucify him, crucify him. And they speak Aramaic. So see, they are delighted. They think he's suffering. They think they've got him now. Now, verse 3, Jesus goes back to speaking Hebrew.
But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Now, to whom is he speaking? If God the Father forsook him, he's talking to God. I praise you, Father, you are holy. In your deepest woe, lift up your voice and praise the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. He's praising the Lord right there.
4. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. 5. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded.
Jesus remembers all of the time that God had delivered the children of Israel so that this moment could happen, so that Messiah could come through that lineage, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and be on this cross, the greatest thing that's ever happened, the greatest act of love to pay our sin debt. When you're in your deepest woe, praise the Lord, and remember those other times that God delivered you. He'll do it again.
6. But I am a worm and no man.
Now, Jesus knew that he had to shed his blood for the remission of sins. His was the only blood. Why the blood? Because the life's in the blood. And God has the law. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus looks down at his body and he sees himself covered with a red blood. Okay, so far so good, says Jesus. I'm orchestrating my crucifixion. I came to shed the blood. The blood is shedding. Why does he say worm? In Bible times, they used a worm called the crimson worm to make red dye. They would take the blood of the crimson worm and dip the material in it, and it would come out red. Jesus says, boy, my body looks like I've been dipped in the red dye of a crimson worm. Then he says, but I'm no man. Isaiah says he had no form that you could desire. What it means is they had beaten him to a pulp. There was no flesh left. He didn't even look like a man. It could have been a big dog. It could have been a donkey. So see, everything's going according to the scripture. Jesus is orchestrating his crucifixion. He's the word, line by line. He's not the loser. He's winning.
A reproach of men. And despised of the people.
Of the people saying, crucify him, but not despised of God. There's a verse in this Psalm 22 that is going to prove to you once and for all that God the Father never forsook the Son, never turned his back on him. I know you hear it all the time, and I was brought up with it too. But aren't you glad? Because see, if he forsook the Son, he might forsake you.
7. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, verse 8, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him.
And the Gospels say, if God will have him. So they are mocking him.
9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Jesus looks from the cross and he sees his mother Mary. And he sees her great big eyes filled with tears. Yes, Mary knew that her baby boy would die on the cross. She knew that. She knew this was the Messiah, but it was still her baby boy, and it hurt. So in all of his pain, Jesus had compassion. And he looked at John. He said, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. John, take my mother and take good care of her. In his deepest woe, he thought of others. When you're in your deepest woe, praise the Lord. Remember the other times God has delivered you, and find somebody else who's suffering like you are and help them.
Amen.
11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
This is the most important verse. Please underline it. To whom is he speaking? To God the Father. Trouble is near, Father. You stay right here, Father. What is trouble? Trouble is sin. Right around Jesus are all the demons of hell. There's a demon called greed. There's one called pride. There's one called hate. There's one called self-centeredness. There's one called me, myself, and I. There's one called murder. There's one called this and one called that. And they're the demons of hell. Now, the Bible says that Jesus took our sins on himself. At this point, he's about to take on all the sins that mankind has ever committed, yours and mine, all mankind. But it is imperative that God the Father watch this. You know how they say God couldn't see it? No. You know why? So when you sin one of these sins that Jesus took, when you say, Father, I committed this sin, please forgive me, God the Father can say, okay, I saw my sin, son, take that sin. Okay, you're forgiven. So God the Father witnesses all the sins of the world fall on his son, Jesus. Very important. God is watching. This was God's greatest plan. He had to make sure it was right. And so, one by one, Jesus says, hey, self-centeredness, come here. Self-centeredness says, I've got you, Jesus. Self-centeredness thinks he's got Jesus, but Jesus took self-centeredness. So when you, self-centered Christian, repent, God says, okay, it's forgiven. And then Jesus says, rebellion, come here. Rebellion says, I've got you, Jesus. Rebellion jumps on Jesus and thinks he's got Jesus. But Jesus has got rebellion. So when you're rebellious and don't obey and you repent, God the Father can say, yep, I saw my son take that one. One by one, they came on the son, all the sins of mankind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus took our sins and God watched it.
For there is none to help.
There is no other name under heaven and earth whereby we might be saved. There was no other Passover lamb without blemish. No other one could do it. He was the only one, and he stepped up to the plate.
12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan.
Now, these are the Aramaic children of the devil saying, crucify him, crucify him. Bulls of Bashan in the Hebrew means magnificent animals. They say they are our beloved brother Judah. We love our brother Judah. But these are not our beloved brother Judah. These are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They are the descendants of Cain. And Cain is a child of the devil, that old dragon, that old serpent who beguiled Eve. And magnificent animals, Satan was the most gorgeous. You can read in Ezekiel how beautiful he was. So his son Cain was. You've heard of Sargon the Magnificent, magnificent looking. So these were magnificent looking. But I can tell you, because their father's name is Death, the devil, they have diminished. They're tinier, and they're not so good looking anymore. But there they are. They are around him, taunting him. The children of the devil
have beset me around. 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion.
Your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil was there, egging them on. Come on, children, let's just have fun watching Jesus suffer. You know, I don't know why you're scared of the devil. He's very stupid. You see, if he had known that if Jesus died, you and I could be saved. He would never have killed the Son of God. Jesus played into his hand because Jesus was successful. Jesus came to die to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Amen. See, don't you ever be scared of the devil. When he comes back soon as the Antichrist, don't be afraid of him. You have victory over him. Amen. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of your testimony.
Amen.
14. I am poured out like water.
Whoa, I'm dehydrated here.
And all my bones are out of joint.
Ouch.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
And that form of crucifixion, the heart would melt. You might say Jesus died of a broken heart. We broke his heart.
15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws.
I thirst.
And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
Dust of death is in Hebraism, which means degradation. Jesus, God, always was. He's a tree of life. He is, he always will be. There is nothing more degrading than for the life, life himself, God Almighty, who's always been alive, to come and die for the creation, the potter, dying for the clay.
16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked.
The dogs are the same as the bulls of Bashan, the devil's children, crying, crucify him, crucify him. The wicked is the wicked one, the devil.
Having closed me, they pierced my hands and my feet.
They nailed his hands and his feet.
17. I may tell all my bones.
He could look down and see all of his bones. And the Bible says not one of his bones were broken. You know why? Because you, church, you, body of Christ, you are the bride. He's the bridegroom. You are bone of his bone. He took all of that beating, all of those stripes, so you could be whole, so you could be complete, not broken.
Amen.
They look and stare upon me. 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
The Gospels say the Roman soldiers gambled for his seamless robe.
19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord.
Now, this is very important. Jesus is almost finished. It's almost 6 hours, but he's got a few minutes to go. If he doesn't finish the whole 6 hours, Susie or Johnny might not be saved. Understand?
Yes.
So what he's doing, he's saying, Lord, I need a little help here. Give me just enough breath so I can finish my 6 hours. Because I know this, when your blood sugar gets so low, you can go comatose and you can die. So it says, Father, give me a little breath. Holy Spirit, give me a little bit more breath. Let me help me finish my 6 hours. He realizes he needs a little bit more life. Jesus is asking for help.
Oh, my strength.
You're my strength, God. I ask for strength.
Haste thee to help me. 20.
Now, 20, God the Father is answering immediately. The Bible says, before you call, God answers. While you are yet speaking, he hears. Jesus is asking for a little bit of breath to finish his 6 hours. He's got a few more minutes. Now, this is God speaking in verse 20, God the Father.
Deliver my soul from the sword.
Soul in the Hebrew means as one. Father says, we are one, son. Here am I, your father. Here's the Holy Spirit. We're right here with you.
My darling from the power of the dog.
Darling means my only begotten son. God steps up to the plate. Now watch Jesus. He's still asking for help. God moves so fast, but suddenly he's going to realize he's been helped.
21. Save me from the lion's mouth.
Say, Jesus still asking for help. God says, before you call or answer, while you're yet speaking out here, suddenly realizes, oh, I've got the breath. I can make it. I'm going to make it for 6 hours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For thou hast heard me, from the horns of the unicorn.
You've heard me. Thank you very much. Now, there's no such thing as a unicorn. That's a blatant error in the English. It means wild ox, which is the same thing as the bulls of Bashan, the magnificent animals, the dogs. So he says, thank you, God. I'm going to make my 6 hours. See, Jesus is winning. He came to die. He's successful.
22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel.
Jesus takes a moment to praise the Lord. Now we come to verse 24. This is the verse that proves once and for all that God the Father never forsook the Son, but when Jesus cried, he heard him and he did not turn his back on him. I would memorize it because, see, he did not forsake the Son, and God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
24, and he
in the Hebrew is El, God the Father,
hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
Remember how they always tell you God couldn't stand to look on all of that? No, he didn't despise it. He didn't find him abhorrent. The afflicted is Jesus.
Neither hath he hid his face from him.
That's it. His face was right there. They tell you God turned his back on the Son. It said he is El, that's God the Father, that's not the Son. God the Father did not turn his face from him. He did not turn away from him. This was God's greatest plan. This is redemption. You think God's not going to watch it?
But when he cried unto him, he heard.
God did not forsake the Son. Thank God for that. I know they mean well when they tell us that, but see, they don't get that first verse. They don't realize that there are three flashing red lights around it. But now you know the difference.
25, my praise shall be of thee and the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever.
Jesus, now for the joy set before him, goes down the corridors of time to our time. We are in the fifth trump, a time of learning, but we also have learned in Revelation that the sixth trump has begun to sound, the political system of the Antichrist, and it is sounding, and that's shortened for the elect's sake, and then the seventh trump is going to sound. So Jesus is watching that, and he says, oh boy, I'm going to get to come back, and my children are going to be around me. And he says, listen, I'm giving you eternal life, everybody.
Amen.
27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord.
Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
All the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nation.
Of his kingdom there shall be no end, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen. 29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
Fat means filled with the word of God. Now Jesus is coming to the point that you and I are about to experience when the Antichrist, pretending to be Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on, is here. But those of you who are eating the true word of God will not be deceived. You'll wait for the true Christ. But what's going to happen to those who are deceived?
All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him.
Okay, the dust is a degradation. Although they're deceived by the Antichrist. See, he's right here with it. He knows it's going to happen. Nobody can save you if you worship the devil. It'll say that. None can save you.
And none can keep alive his own soul.
Not if you worship the Antichrist.
Verse 30. A seed shall serve him, but shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
Mark 13, the generation of the fig tree. We are it. We are the generation that will usher in the second coming of Jesus, be you 5 or 120. And so the generation that saw that Israel became a nation in 1948. Now, we were not born then, but we were watching over the corridors of heaven, because Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all there. We were watching this and waiting our time to come. Now we've come. Guess what's going to happen?
31. They shall come and declare his righteousness.
They who? That's the very elect.
Unto a people that shall be born.
We weren't born then, but we're born now. And here is our job. The end time elect, the 7,000 elect, the two witnesses, the 144,000. What are we declaring?
That he hath done this.
This is in italics, so that's not important. He hath done is the equivalent of the Greek in the New Testament. It is finished.
Yeah.
So we're saying it is finished. Jesus gave up the ghost, and when he said it is finished, the veil of the temple high and wide tore from the top to the bottom, and now whosoever will may go in. What a finished work. What a great work of art. Yahweh, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God. Matthew chapter 28. On the first day of the week, at the end of the Sabbath, the three Mary ladies came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body for burial. They were worried about who would roll away the stone. See, they expected to find Jesus dead. Although Jesus had said, I will die on the cross, but I will arise after 3 days. They did not believe him, but do you believe him? You have a problem, you find it in the Word, and you go ahead and you believe about Corona, you believe about 666, you believe the news, you believe all of this mess, but the Word says something else. They did not believe the Word. And lo and behold, the stone was rolled away, and there was an angel sitting on the stone, and they were afraid. The angel said, fear not. Ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Duh! Well, I added the duh. Matthew 28, verse 18. After 40 days, it was time for Jesus to ascend back to the Father, where he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the end of the age. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin, came and died willingly on a cross, shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Why the blood? Because the life's in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus arose, and Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. I pray you a blessing. Next week, we'll resume our Revelation teaching. Normally, I give you a mystery moment, but I think I just gave you the greatest mystery of all.
Amen.
So let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, what an awesome promise, right?
Awesome, awesome. David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
His head and his hairs were as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, his feet like unto brass, and his voice as a sound of many waters. Revelations 1, 14 and 15.
Thank you, Scott. The description of Jesus, that's how we're going to see him come back. His head and his hair white as wool. Praise ye the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. God still heals. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. and with his stripes we are healed. But first, let me pray for anyone who is lost. If you're not saved or not sure, pray this prayer and let's get you saved. That's the most important thing to do. That's why Jesus came, to rescue you from sin, to save sinners. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask that the blood of Jesus,
I ask that the blood of Jesus
will wash away all my sins.
Will wash away all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Put me in my right place.
Put me in my right place.
In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 For those of you out in cyberspace who prayed that prayer, in a few moments my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that on my voicemail and leave your name and I will pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. I speak now to those who seem to be fading away. Life seems to be going from you. We call forth life back to you. He sent his word and healed you. We speak life to you, refreshing, rejuvenating life. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Life in your brain, life in your heart, life in your stomach, life in your legs, life in your lungs, in Jesus' name. Left lung, right lung, be healed. Kidneys, left side, right side, bladder, colon, intestines, top of your head to the soles of your feet, come back alive. Be made whole in the name of the power of Jesus. Anything missing, let there be a new one. Anything broken, let it be mended. Anything out of place, put it back in place. We speak life to you. He restores health to you and heals you of all of your wounds. You shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. We praise you. For those of you who received your miracle of healing, you might like to call and tell me that also. Nothing is given to us to keep. Everything we have is ours to give away. God will always give you more. Don't forget, Wednesday 6 p.m., Sundays 5 p.m., we need to pray for our America and get our country back to Jesus. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God. Don't forget, we'll be back in Revelation next time to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Calling all Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a Trumpet of Truth.
There is one who breaks my chains. There is one who bears my shame. There is one who leads me out of darkness. Just one day. You're the one who I adore, Jesus. fall on my knees. I lay my cares before you, my King. I give up my own life and offer you everything. I'm falling. Mercy covers me. Oh God, your peace consumes my heart, and I am overwhelmed by your love, and I am overcome with my need. Yeah, I'm so thirsty, I'm so hungry, Lord, for you.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. Just three chords and a melody won't leave you a living legacy without Jesus.
all home. Just four songs and a parable might leave you something terrible. Just $5 and an offering won't buy you some prosperity. Just a sixth sense of morality won't get you out of your depravity. Without Jesus, oh, without Jesus. Crown on the brow of a man from Nazareth. And if all I get is what Jesus did and said and put within my heart, then I get it all, I have it all. Oh, I have it all. Without Jesus.